Well, hi, everybody. I'm Jason Cusick. I'm the lead pastor here at Journey of Faith. And if you're new with us today, I want to send a special welcome to you. Thanks so much for being with us today. One of the things that to know about us, we're a church that meets in multiple locations. So right now, during the service, we're connected with our Torrance campus over on Lomita Boulevard. So hi to everybody at our Torrance campus. We have a couple hundred people in our venue in another building on our here in our Manhattan Beach campus. So hi to everybody over at the venue. Thank you so much. And then we also have some people watching online, not only here in the South Bay, but some people that are connected with Journey around the world. So thanks for joining us online. If you are new with us, I want to invite you to come back next Sunday, too. We meet every Sunday. We get together, we sing together, we build new relationships and friendships, find ways to serve in the community, and then we take a little bit of time to look into the Bible and discover what ancient wisdom applies to us today. And next week, we're starting a new series of messages called The Road, and the idea is really simple, is that we're all on a journey in life. And for some of us, that journey has been smooth and scenic. But for most of us, it's a winding road, and there's obstacles and challenges, and we need support and help. And so what we're going to be doing in this series is we're going to be looking at a book in the New Testament that can give us some wisdom about how to come together as individuals, families, neighborhoods, even a country, to come together to travel this road together and hopefully end up at the destination that God wants us to be at. So I invite you, if you don't have a place that you normally go to on Sunday mornings or a church that you're a part of, join us next Sunday at 9 and 11 at our campuses so that you can be part of that with us. Let me get into talking about Easter. And similar, now that I'm thinking about the road, something happened to me a little while back that I wanted to share with you. Oftentimes when I'm going places to drive, I'll take my dog with me. I have a little Shih Tzu, and he'll sit in the passenger seat. And then when I stop the car, I think he thinks we're going to get out. He often climbs into the driver's seat. So if I stop at a stop sign or a stoplight or the train, he'll climb over and sit in my lap. I took a picture of him a little bit. That's he and I. And so he's really attentive. Hey, what's going on? What are we going to do now? He's not driving. I don't let him drive because he has a bad eye. But he climbs into the seat, and in this time in particular, he put his paws up on the steering wheel, and then suddenly this loud noise came through, and it said, OnStar Emergency Services. Now, I was shocked because I was like, oh my gosh, who is this? What's this voice, and is there an emergency? But what really shocked me is I didn't know I had OnStar Emergency Services. I mean, my dog was more tech-savvy than I was. And then I thought, well, given how I drive, I should probably have OnStar Emergency Services. I'm not a good driver. But that moment, it was not only unexpected, but it was also reassuringly life-giving that I had this resource available to me. As I thought about that, I was like, that's kind of like Easter. Easter, the message of Easter, what we're celebrating, is an event that was unexpected and life-saving. Let me tell you what I mean. 2,000 years ago, there was a man named Jesus. He went around first century Israel teaching life-giving teachings about loving our neighbors and having a personal relationship with God. He also performed amazing acts of healing. In addition to that, he said some pretty bold things. He said that he was going to sacrifice his life and that he would be killed to pay for the sins of the whole world. And then 3 days later, he would miraculously rise from the dead. People loved his teachings about loving one another. And they loved that he was healing people. But this talk about dying for the sins of the world and rising again, that was really confusing. They're like, we kind of don't understand this. Until it happened. Jesus was arrested and he was put to death by the Roman Empire. He died through crucifixion. this past Friday, our two campuses both had services where we kind of commemorated that event. We had these crosses set up in the room with nails on them, and we took fabric and we tore it. And the tearing was symbolic of our sadness and our grief about what Jesus did to sacrifice himself for us. But it was also symbolic of somehow Jesus' death tore open heaven and allowed us to be able to have a relationship with him. The fabric that we tore was gray and black, and then you'll see on our campuses that you'll see these crosses with torn fabric on it, but now the fabric is colorful and bright and warm and inviting, kind of the difference between what was called Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Jesus died, and his followers took his body, they put it into a tomb, and they rolled a big stone in front of it, and then Roman officials were stationed there because the Romans had actually heard and remembered that Jesus said he was going to rise from the dead, and they wanted to make sure no funny business was going to happen. But his followers, after he died, they were like, well, I guess that's it. I guess the teaching and the healing and all that stuff was over. Till Sunday morning, two of his followers, two women, both named Mary. Mary was a popular name in that day. They woke up early Sunday morning, before dawn, in order to go to the grave, to go to that tomb and finish some of the burial customs that they hadn't got to finish after Jesus had died. And we have a record of what happened at that event, a 2,000-year-old document that's been preserved and translated so we can read it. Here's what it says. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord had come down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards, the Roman guards who were standing there, they shook with fear when they saw this angel, and they fell into a dead faint. I think I could relate. I was pretty startled when my OnStar Emergency Services was announced. I can't imagine suddenly seeing an angel. We have these artistic renderings of angels where it's like a guy with wings and a little gold thing around his head. They were seeing some type of trans-dimensional being suddenly in front of them, and they fell into a dead faint. And not only did this being appear, but then it spoke. The angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid, he said. Easy for him to say. Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. And look at this. Just as he said would happen. And then this being says, come, look where his body was lying. He's not here. He says, now go quickly, tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. If you go look in a Bible, you can read the rest of this very old document. And it goes on to say that right after this, Jesus appeared physically. He wasn't a ghost. He wasn't a memory. He wasn't a group hallucination. He was physically alive again. And what this did to the early followers of Jesus, and as a result, hundreds and thousands of millions of people over 2,000 years across all continents and languages and backgrounds and traditions, is they suddenly realized that when Jesus said he was going to die for the sins of the world and then rise again, it was like a whole new life was possible. Jesus had conquered the great enemy of humanity, death. It was like through Jesus, there really wasn't anything to be afraid of anymore. And it allowed a new experience of life for all who stepped toward and into Jesus' teachings. Here's the main idea of Easter. We can begin a new life because Jesus is alive. And why do I say that? I say that because that's what the first Christians 2,000 years ago believed. That's how they interpreted. In fact, here's a quote from one of them that we can find in the New Testament. He says, "We have been born again because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead." Have you heard that phrase, born again? I wasn't raised religious or going to church, and the first time I heard the phrase born again Christian, I was like, oh, that means you're a weirdo. That's how I kind of concluded. I later learned that it's kind of a redundancy. To be born again means to be a Christian. There's something about having a rebirth. The early Christians said, we've all been born physically, right? Show of hands, how many of you have been born physically? Yeah, we know that, okay. But it's like they were saying, we've all experienced a physical birth. Now God's inviting us to have a spiritual birth. It's kind of like we've been dead spiritually, and Jesus came to life, and now it's possible for us to be alive spiritually. And they got this idea of being born again, not from their own ideas. They got it from Jesus's teachings as well. Look at what Jesus said. He said, unless you are born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. It's like God has a plan. God's doing something in the world and through us. And in order to really comprehend it, to live in it, to experience it, you have to have a spiritual birth. This happened to me when I was around 19 years old. I remember I was in college. I was at El Camino College, just right down the street. I was getting ready for a class, and I looked up at one point, and it was like the world was suddenly in 4K IMAX. And for the first time in my life, I believed that there was something or someone that was beautiful and intelligent that was responsible for all of this. And I suddenly felt accountable, like I need to figure out what or who this is. So I started to search, trying to figure out what was happening to me. I think I was having a spiritual birth. And I was like, how do I understand? How do I ground this? I ended up going to a lot of different, trying different things. And I ended up at a church. And I was talking to the people at the church, what's happening to me? And they said, let me explain some of the teachings of the Bible. And as they did, it started to make sense. I want to share with you four simple truths that were shared with me when I was 19 years old, that when I embraced those truths, it changed my life. Here they are. The first one, God created you in love. There are some of you today that are questioning whether or not you have a purpose in life. There's some of you today that there's a recording in your head that's saying, I'm kind of a cosmic mistake, or I'm just an accident of my biological parents. Not true. You are created by God with unique purpose, and God loves you. Now, the challenge is, we've all gone our own way. I think this is something about us as human beings. I think we can all relate to the idea that there is a desire to do good, and there's a competing desire to just do whatever the heck we want. We've all been there. It's almost like God has a plan for our lives, and we go, awesome, I'm going this way. A lot of times we set a goal for ourselves. We can't even keep that goal. We're going the opposite way. There's something about our humanity that draws us away from the good and the beautiful and the right, and even causes us to move into self-destruction, self-sabotage. Jesus called that sin. Sin is anything that disconnects us from God. Well, the good news is, did my mic just go? There we go. Jesus came to bring us new life. Something happened when Jesus died and rose again that opened up a new life of forgiveness and freedom and power with God. Now that's available to us, but then we have a choice to make. We can say yes to him. There's many of you today who have said yes to Jesus. You've said, I believe all these. I've said yes to Jesus. I want Jesus to lead my life. I want to be an apprentice of Jesus. I want to step into that new life. I want the healing, the strength, the power, the direction, the wisdom from God. And you did that at some point. Some of you did it when you were little kids. Some of you did it when you went off to a Bible camp. Some of you did it with family members or in a church long ago. But there's others of you who maybe have attended church for a long time, but have never actually made the decision to follow Jesus. And of course, there's others of you who maybe you're discovering this is why you're here today. Maybe you've had some of these eye-opening, awakening moments where you have felt that there's something out there bigger than you imagined. Today, I'd love to help you land that plane through a relationship with God by receiving the forgiveness and love of Jesus in your life. So, in a moment, we're going to be able to see in some of our locations, we're going to have some people getting baptized, and that's going to be a great celebration. But before we do that, I want to invite you to pray a simple prayer that's a version of the prayer that I prayed when I was 19 years old. It's just going to walk through these simple steps. If you are a follower of Jesus and you've embraced these teachings, you just say, I've experienced that spiritual birth and I'm living in that place. If you want to re-pray that prayer as a rededication, you're welcome to do that. If you have never prayed this kind of prayer, if you've never said yes to Jesus's leadership of your life and forgiveness of your sins, I'd invite you to repeat after me in your mind or out loud, and maybe just symbolically place your hand on your chest as a way of saying, God, I'm giving you my heart today. Would you all close your eyes and open your heart and mind? And if you are open to a new life with Jesus, this might be a spiritual birthday for you. In your mind or out loud, just repeat this prayer. God, thank you for creating me in love. I'm a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and rising from the dead. Today, I say yes to you. I accept you as Savior and Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. God, right now I just want to thank you for those men and women, the boys and girls that opened their life to you, that you are in the process of giving them a spiritual birth as we speak. God, thank you for the gift of forgiveness and new life. Thank you that as we say yes to you, we don't have to live in the pains of yesterday. A new day is dawning today. And now we sing in gratitude to the work that you have done, are doing, and will do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.